The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in His image and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we are continuing and completing our analysis on the proposed Florida constitutional amendments. And in doing so, we're actually applying biblical principles to these proposed constitutional amendments. Why so? Because the Word of God is true, and God's Word should be applied to every area of life, not only our personal life and our family life and our church, but also to our local government, our state government, and our national government. And not only our nation, but also all the nations of the world. Yes, even pagan nations should submit themselves unto God. And if you look at Deuteronomy says that the nation of Israel would be blessed and that other nations would look upon them and would say, what nation is there that is so blessed as to have this law in it? Let us follow these same principles. God blesses nations that obey His commandments, and He curses nations that disobey His commandments, and He does so universally across the board. As we look at these, we're going to look at the proposed constitutional amendments to the Florida Constitution. We'll also look at one county referendum for St. Lucie County, but I know that from looking at other sample ballots across the state, this very similar referendum is on the ballot in several counties. And if not this election cycle, you may have one similar in your county if you live in a different county. We're going to include the title and language that will appear on the ballot. As well, if there is a financial impact, we'll also include that. We'll also present a nonpartisan view of what a yes and no vote means. We will look at whether the proposed constitutional amendment can be addressed without a constitutional amendment. In other words, can this be accomplished? Can what's being proposed be accomplished without putting it in the Constitution? Can the legislature do it? If they can, in most circumstances, it should be done by the legislature and not by a constitutional amendment. If they can't, if it's not something that can happen legislatively, then you need to look at the merits of the proposed amendment to determine whether it actually should be in the Constitution or not. Just because it requires a constitutional amendment to be done doesn't necessarily mean that we should actually pass it. Also, we're going to apply biblical principles to the proposed amendments. To the amendments that we'll go over today, we will definitely be able to do that very clearly. Where applicable, we're going to quote from the Founding Fathers, and again, we will do that today. And we will provide recommendations on each amendment. Now, I'm just going to go over the previous amendments that we've covered, so that you can actually see, and you'll actually, to get the analysis and the actual sermon presentation, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. We have links to both of those on our church website as well. You can go there and you can actually watch the previous sermons. So Amendment 1, partisan election of members of the district school board. My recommendation on that was a no vote. And then we look at Amendment 2, the right to fish and hunt. And this is one that hunting and fishing are in the Bible. But there's nothing that says that it, you know, that the government should limit it or that it should be allowed. There's really, I mean, obviously it should be allowed, but there's nothing really that would say this should be in the Constitution. So you could really go either way on this. I'm recommending yes. I'm going to vote yes. But if you view it the other way, I'm not really going to get bent out of shape about that. So Amendment 3, adult personal use of marijuana. So here the recommendation is a no vote. And then Amendment 4. I am going to touch on Amendment 4 just a little bit. We actually did cover this last week exclusively. And the week before, we covered it partly. I also have done at least 5 sermons on Amendment 4 in the past. But a few quotes that I actually failed to go over or didn't have time to go over last week, we'll go over those. We went over the biblical principles of this proposed constitutional amendment. So Amendment 4 is a radical pro-abortion amendment pushed by Planned Parenthood, by the ACLU, and by abortion providers, and by George Soros as well. Amendment 4, what it would do is it would legalize abortion all the way until the moment of birth, even beyond the point of viability, when a baby could be delivered and live outside the womb. The amendment would give the permission to actually kill that preborn child. So one of the things that we looked at the principles of the Bible on life. We also did quote from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, not you know the thing, as President Biden once said, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The U.S. Constitution in the Fifth Amendment says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The preborn children have not done anything worthy of death, much less had a trial that would convict them of a capital offense. Thomas Jefferson also said this, the care of human life and happiness is the first and only legitimate object of good government. By the way, there's a lot, in fact, the majority of things that government does, they have no business doing. How do I know that? Because I read the Bible and I look at what God authorizes the government to do, and much of what they do, they have no authority biblically from God to actually do. In fact, most of what the federal government does, they have no constitutional authority to do that either, but we let them get away with it. And so we also see in the Florida Constitution that all natural persons, female and male alike, are equal before the law and have inalienable rights, among which are the right to enjoy and defend life and liberty. So every one of us, including the preborn, have a right, a constitutional right, to enjoy and defend life. Let me tell you something. If someone slices your arms and legs off and crushes your skull and removes you from your mother's womb, or someone injects saline solution into the sac around you that burns you to death and then causes your mother to actually deliver a dead baby, or someone cuts you in pieces and removes you piece by piece from your mother's womb, or someone uses a suction machine to rip the flesh off of you in your mother's womb, or someone, or a doctor, or under Amendment 4, it wouldn't even have to be a doctor, prescribes medication that cuts off the necessary hormones to cause the mother to stop providing the resources to the baby, and that baby dies in the mother's womb when this happens, and then the mother gives birth with another another medication that causes her to deliver a dead baby. She delivers this dead baby on her own toilet, and the toilet water washes away the blood, and she sees not a blob of tissue, but a little baby in the toilet. Those I just described to you the way that abortion is done. Those are the ways that abortion is done. If you are a preborn child and that is done to you, you do not have the right to life. You've had the right to life deprived from you. So we are, again, encouraging you to vote no on Amendment 4. If you don't vote no on Amendment 4 and you are eligible to vote, you will have blood on your hands. Florida will be an abortion destination state, and we need to actually stand up and vote no on Amendment 4. We need to stand against the forces of hell and push back the forces of hell and actually stand for life. We have an obligation, according to the Bible, to defend life, to establish justice. So today we're going to look at Amendment 5. We're going to look at the proposed tax amendment in St. Lucie County, and we're going to look at Amendment 6. So Amendment 5 is annual adjustment to the value of certain homestead exemptions. So the ballot language is this: proposing an amendment to the state constitution to require an annual adjustment for inflation to the value of current and future homestead exemptions that apply solely to levies other than school district levies, for which every person has legal or equitable title to real estate and maintains thereon the permanent residence of the owner or another person legally or naturally dependent upon the owner is eligible. The amendment takes effect January 1st, 2025. This was put on the ballot by the Florida legislature. A yes vote would change the homestead exemption of not the first $25,000 exemption, but the second $25,000. So there are two $25,000 exemptions. This would actually change the second of the two, so that beginning January 1st, it would be increased by the rate of inflation. In other words, if there's an 8% inflation, it would go from $25,000 to $27,000. This doesn't affect school board taxes. That first $25,000 does affect school board taxes, and that's why that one is exempted from this. A no vote does this. A no vote would keep everything the same and would actually mean that there is an automatic rise in property value with inflation. As that happens, there's an automatic tax increase. So you actually pay more taxes on a home that you own as you move forward. And that's something that's a big problem. So pros are, while property values continue to increase and homeowners pay more in property taxes, supporters argue that this measure will give homeowners relief on their taxes by adjusting for inflation. The cons are, opponents of this measure highlight its negative impact on tax revenue for local government by adding an inflation adjustment to the homestead exemption. Automatic tax increases will no longer occur. As a result, local governments will face decreased tax revenue unless local officials vote to raise taxes, which, by the way, should be a requirement. If they're going to raise taxes, they should raise the taxes and instead of raising them sneakily by keeping the rate the same and saying, well, we haven't raised taxes, when they're actually charging you more for your taxes. So this is an amendment that does require a constitutional amendment to be enacted. So if it's going to be enacted, it's necessary for a constitutional amendment to pass. So in sum, the current homestead tax exemption structure for primary residents is not adjusted for inflation, and inflation adjustment would eliminate automatic tax increases going toward local government, and would require local officials to vote to increase taxes going forward. So here's some biblical principles on this. There are a lot of biblical principles. We'll also quote from a founding father from a famous book. But when we look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel, or what was happening here is Israel is asking for a king. And Samuel, God tells Samuel, hey, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me, but warn them of what the king will do. And so in verse 15 and verse 17 of 1 Samuel 8, Samuel says this, he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take a tenth of your sheep. He will, and you will be his servants. If you want to understand, this is really where God defines tyranny. Any government that requires as much of its citizens as God requires of its citizens is a tyrannical government. And so God here is saying 10% is his definition of tyranny. And Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac said this, it would be a hard government that should tax its people 1/10 part of their income. So at the time of the founding fathers, they thought it would be preposterous that people would be taxed 1/10 part of their income. Yet look at our taxes today. In fact, look at your property tax. Look at how many different entities, how many different taxing authorities are on there. And they're all getting a piece of the pie. And they're taking taxes based on the value of your property. Even if you own the property and you have homestead exemption, you're still going to have to pay property tax because the government thinks they own the land. They don't think you own the land. They think they own the land and they have a right to actually tax it. And we'll see here in just a minute that that's not biblically accurate. So really what needs to happen is that rulers need to live within their means. We look at 1 Samuel 8. God does say, hey, the government is going to tax you. But you look at what the Bible gives authority to governments to tax for, and you're not going to see most of the things that the government actually does. You certainly aren't going to see them mowing your ditch, mowing the grass in front of your ditch, or weed eating in front of your ditch. The government does this in St. Lucie County, and they probably do it in other counties as well. There's so many things, and you look at your cell phone bill. There's multiple taxing districts on your cell phone bill. When you go to the gas pump and you pump gas, there are multiple taxing districts that are collecting taxes on your gas. When you pay for your electric, when you pay for your phone, when you pay for your internet, when you pay for television, there are multiple agencies, and in fact, many times your cell phone as well. There are multiple government agencies that have their hand out, that want to take a piece of that pie, that want to collect taxes based on you using that. There are so many ways. Of course, we do have income tax. We have other types of taxes. You add all of those taxes up, and most people, certainly there are some people that get more money back than what they actually pay in, and that's called redistribution of wealth, which is also unbiblical. It's unbiblical for government to take money from some and give it to others. If I do that, it's called stealing. If the government does it, we somehow think it's okay, but it's not okay. When we look at property tax should never be allowed at all. We should abolish all property tax. Why? Because it violates property rights. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 4, we see, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So God here is clearly saying not to mess with property and with inheritance. If you own property and you own that all the way until you die and you have descendants, you should be able to pass that property on to your descendants. Yet, if you have, maybe you're poor and you don't pay your property tax, well, you're not going to be kicked out of your house while you're alive, but when you die, that property tax will need to be paid, or the government will take that property. Property tax is an unjust method of taxation. We should always oppose property tax. And one of the things, again, property tax is really based on the idea that the government owns the land and that you are kind of leasing it from them. But the Bible says that God owns the land. In Psalm 24:1 and also Psalm 50:12, we see that God is the one that owns the land. The earth is the Lord's, the world, and those who dwell therein. God is the one that owns the property. There's only one biblical example of property tax in the Bible. And I should have asked this question last week and used it as a quiz and asked you, where is this and what was the results of this? Well, this is really the only time that God ever authorized taking money from some or taking resources from some and giving it to others. And that was when there was a major famine in the land of Egypt, and God had sent Joseph to Egypt. He was a slave there, and God raised him up from a slave to rule the nation. And what Joseph did, even the wisest person that was living at that time, that was a godly man, what happened? The Egyptians owned their land at the beginning. They were taxed to give 20% of their grain. They gave 20% of their grain for 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, they used money to buy back grain that they had given to the government. When their money was gone, they sold their cattle. Pharaoh owned their cattle. When their cattle was gone, they sold their land to Pharaoh. They became slaves, and the government, Pharaoh, actually owned the land, and they needed to actually pay taxes every year after that. That's actually the only time you see property tax in the Bible. It's unjust, it's tyranny, and it needs to be abolished. We are recommending a yes vote on this amendment. When we look at the proposed tax, this is actually a sales tax. It's a proposed referendum to the St. Lucie County School District. What it does is it allows for a half-cent sales tax, which is currently in place, to continue. And this would fund various functions of the school, including building and buying property and reconstruction and renovation and safety and security improvements, school technology improvements, buying school buses, and so on and so forth. Really, the government, we actually pay way more than for every pupil to be educated in a government school than it would cost if we just put them in private school. And if we put them in private school, they would get a better education than in public school. Public schools are failing students. We should not give them more money. We should actually take money from them and use it for private schools that are doing a better job of improving. Allow parents to choose where they actually where their money goes. In fact, take that money that would be going to the public school, allow them to use it to choose to homeschool their child or to send their child to a private school. And by the way, if you make less than twice the poverty level, you can do that today in the state of Florida. You can actually send your kid to a private school without having to pay for it, and it will save taxpayers money. So I'm recommending a no vote on the proposed county referendum. Then we go to Amendment 6, the repeal of public campaign finance requirement. So what this does, proposing the repeal of the provision in the state constitution which requires public financing of campaigns for of candidates for elective statewide office who agree to campaign spending limits. So a yes vote would repeal the provision of the Florida Constitution that provides public funding to candidates for statewide offices, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, chief financial officer, commissioner of agriculture. Such funds are currently given to candidates that meet a few requirements, including limiting how much they spend on their campaign and allowing an audit of campaign funds after the election. A no vote would keep in place public funding for statewide candidates. So the pros are this: supporters of this measure argue that those running for statewide office should not be entitled to taxpayers' money for election purposes, and that getting rid of public campaign financing will lower taxes for Floridians and allocate general revenue funds to other important issues within the state. The cons of this are opponents contend that by giving money to candidates that may not already have money or the capacity to raise sufficient funds, the measure can effectively level the playing field for aspiring office holders that lack political and financial connections. The constitutional merits, this measure is not a reform that can be addressed by the state legislature and thus needs to be implemented, if it is going to be implemented, by a constitutional amendment. So in some, voters will get to decide whether public campaign funds should be available for those running for statewide office, or if candidates should no longer be able to spend taxpayer dollars in campaigning. So first we'll look at the biblical principles here. So we'll cover where the Bible authorizes taxation to be spent to elect a political officer. Well, that about covers it. The Bible does not authorize the government taking money from your wallet and giving it to a candidate who wants to run for office.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in His image and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
Kinda wonder what the future holds, how we're ever gonna reach the sinful souls.